Shalom, and welcome to the Lord's house as we share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, today's message.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, there's a quote that I've heard many times, and maybe you've heard it as well, and I tried to find out who to attribute it to, but couldn't really discover who came up with it. But it's a saying that says, any man can be a father, but it takes someone special to be a dad. While I was looking for that, I found another one, and it says, any man can create a child, any man can help create a child, but it takes a real man to love, cherish, and raise that child. Happy Father's Day to all the amazing dads out there. And that was a quote from Nishan Panwar. And as we celebrate Father's Day today, we think about our dads. For some, our dads are no longer with us. They've gone on to be with the Lord possibly, or for whatever reason. But we have our memories. For others, maybe your dad is still here, and you have also your memories of them. And I have to say, unfortunately, if you're being honest about the situation in today's society, for some, the memory of the father is not always that great because there may have been abuse or whatever. But I'm thankful that I had a dad who cared about his family and did his best to support that family, to raise us up in the knowledge of God, raise us up in church. My dad was like that. My father-in-law was like that. And I'm thankful that he cared about his family. Were either one of them perfect? Absolutely not. They had their flaws. They had their faults. But they did the best they knew how to do. And I'm thankful for the impression that they left and the way that they touched our lives. And of course, as I mentioned on Mother's Day, we have not only our regular mothers, but sometimes we have spiritual mothers. And some of you may have a spiritual dad or a spiritual father that you attribute to helping you in your spiritual life and your growth and knowledge of God's Word. You might want to pay honor to them as well today. I remember Reverend Willard Peachy was a preacher that was attending the church that I attended in California. And he held revivals various places, plus he worked a full-time job. And he did a missions service on Skid Row in Los Angeles every Monday night. And so when he found out I was going to be going to Bible college and was interested in going into the ministry, I'd been going down there to help out with a few things, but he invited me to preach my first sermon down there. And I'll have to say, it was the shortest sermon I've ever preached. It was 12 minutes long. And I know some people might find that hard to believe anymore, but of course the next sermon, the next week, because he had me come back and preach the next week, it was an hour long. And finally, I hit a happy medium in between. But he had a great influence on my life, and I'm thankful for him. Even though he's gone on to be with the Lord a number of years ago, I'm still thankful for how he touched my life. Another man that touched my life and was considered a spiritual dad was Reverend Walter Bernard. And he taught me a lot about being in church, about pastoring, and how you would do things in a church. I'd always been just in evangelism and never really had any idea of ever pastoring, but he taught me some of those things that I would need to know. And he taught me from some of his mistakes. And I remember just a few weeks before he died, he spoke to Mary and I and he said, you know, I did this or that. And as far as his own health, and he says, don't make the same mistakes that I made. And so I was glad to get that kind of instruction from him and the knowledge that he could pass on to me. Another pastor that helped me a lot was Reverend Robert Turner. And he was there to help me, give me support, was one of the early supporters of our ministry, and I'm thankful for him as well. All these men have gone on to be with the Lord. They're celebrating Father's Day in heaven today. But I'm thankful for the touch that they had on my life and for what they did in my life. You know, the Bible, which is God's word for man, some people may not want to believe that, but the Bible is God's word for man. I know there are some people today that tell you it's a collection of fairy tales. I understand that a person who I almost find it disgusting to say their name said just this past week or so that if you believed in those fairy tales and stuff like that, I didn't read their comment because I didn't want to give them the satisfaction that I even read something that they stated. But if you believe in those fairy tales, but the Bible is God's word, and I'm thankful for that. You can put your trust, you can put your hope, you can put everything you need to in God's word and in God's hands. And it speaks a lot of men who are fathers, dads. One of the most famous in the Bible, of course, is Abraham. There's a song we used to sing in youth group, and some churches sang it years ago. Father Abraham had many sons. And I can't remember all the words to it, and I wouldn't even attempt to sing it if I did. But Father Abraham had many sons. How many sons did Abraham actually have? Only a couple. Really? He didn't have that great big abundance of sons that were actually his physical sons. But he had grandchildren and other descendants that followed after him. You see, God spoke to Abraham and told him if he would go to a place that God would lead him to. In fact, let's read it in Genesis chapter 17, 3 through 5. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name be any more called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee." And how old was Abram? Or Abraham, when God spoke these words to him? 99 years old. Most folks anymore don't even live close to reaching that age. But here he is, 99 years old, and God has said, "You are going to be the father of many nations." And he went on to father two nations or groups of people that are still in existence in the world today, and that's the Jewish people. It's one of them, the most well-known of them. And of course, there is the Islamic nations through Ishmael, his first son. And so Abraham was a father to this. God's word was fulfilled. God's word was true. God did what he said he was going to do. You know, being a father is not always an easy task. Being a dad's not an easy task. You know, sometimes kids can get a little sneaky and sometimes do things that you tell them not to do. We were just on vacation with our two daughters, and they would talk about some of the things they did when they were kids. And in some cases, 30-some years later, we're just finding out something they did when they were teenagers. So, you know, some of them are pretty good at hiding it. Of course, I had one daughter who was pretty good of doing it and telling you to your face right after she did what you told her not to do. Guess what I did? But, you know, kids will do things that they're told not to do. And when I hear somebody saying they've got the perfect child, I wonder what they're really up to, you know, behind everybody's back. But sometimes there are problems. For example, Abraham that we're talking about, he had a son by the name of Isaac, who in turn had a son by the name of Jacob, Abraham's grandson. And Jacob, if you read the Bible there, what it says about him, was kind of a sneaky, deceptive person at times. He was, on occasions, a deceiver. In fact, if you read Genesis chapter 27, we find out that when it was coming time for his father Isaac to pass the blessing on to the firstborn, and remember, Esau was the firstborn by just a short period of time there because they were twins. But he found out, his mother helped him too. Can you believe that? She helped him pull all this off. And Esau goes out to to get the venison that Abraham or Isaac wanted to have him cook for his meal. And while he's out, Mama says, "Here, son, I'll fix this meat here. He won't know the difference. He'll think that your brother cooked it. And I'll fix you up and you take it in to him. You know, and you get some goat skin or something put on your arm, so if he feels your arms, they'll feel hairy like your brother's arms. And we'll pull this one off." And if you read the story, it goes on, you find out they did that. Jacob went in. He got the blessing that his father meant to give to his brother. So he was deceptive at times. And you think, well, man, what a sneaky person. And all the fact, if you go on a little bit further, you find out after this event, what does brother want to do? He wanted to kill him. And so Jacob had to hit the road and get out of Dodge. He went on. And, of course, you find out that after he deceived his father this way, he goes to live with his mama's family for a while. And there he's going to find a wife. And he finds this beautiful girl. He's just so smitten. "Ah, I want to marry your daughter, sir. You worked for me for 7 years and she's yours." Any of you guys here worked for your wife for 7 years? No, I didn't think so. 7 years he works for her. And he gets up in the morning and finds out daddy-in-law has pulled a switcheroo. This was not the girl he planned to marry. So what does dad do? Our father-in-law do? He says, "Well, you work for me another 7 years and you can have the other one. Yeah, I'll give you two of them for the price of two." That wasn't a deal there. It's a price of two. So he goes through with it. And if you can read the story there in Genesis. But his father-in-law deceived him. So he got what was coming to him. And you think, boy, he's kind of a rascal here, you know. But we find out as we go on and we read about Jacob, he has a meeting with God. And his life is changed. In fact, God speaks to him and says, "No longer will your name be called Jacob, but it will be called Israel." And as God speaks to him, there's a change takes place in Jacob's life. Well, he goes on to have how many sons? How many? 12? Is somebody saying 12? Okay, I've got one person out there that's going with 12 there. We got anybody want to go? No. 12 sons. 12 sons that Jacob has. And how many tribes of Israel are there? 12 tribes. What a blessing that God bestowed upon his life when he committed his life to God. They got his life right with God. So we've got Abraham, who God promised to make the father of many nations. We got his grandson, who was a rascal at first, yet he has 12 sons who go on to become the 12 tribes of Israel, essentially. And then we have some other fathers in here as well, who had some sons that were, well, maybe not so nice. Bible tells us a story in the New Testament, in Luke chapter 15, and it's a story most everyone is familiar with, and I want to read this today from the Complete Jewish Bible, because I like the way a couple of the words are translated here. It says, "And again Yeshua said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate that will be mine.'" "Daddy, give me what's coming to me now." Now, you've seen the commercials on TV, you know, it's your money and you want it now. That's basically, he kind of originated that phrase, I think. "Daddy, give me what's mine and give it to me now." So it goes on to say, "So the father divided the property between them. And as soon as he can convert his share into cash," that's the part I like the way it reads here, "as soon as he could convert it into cash, the younger son left home and went off to a distant country where he squandered his money in reckless living. Can you imagine that? The Bible doesn't tell us how much that estate was worth, but we're kind of given to believe that it was fairly substantial. But he went off and he squandered all that he had. You know, you read today and hear today about, I've watched a couple of programs on TV about lottery winners and where are they now. And quite frankly, a good many of them were broke because they squandered it. I mean, why does a person need 20 cars and 10 houses and, you know, whatever? So he squandered his money, found himself with nothing. Can you imagine how the father would have felt if he had known this is what his son was doing at the time? I would imagine he would have been heartbroken. And I know there are some who say, well, you know, kid's out of his hair and, you know, he can do whatever he wants to do. Let him do what he wants to do. But the Bible tells us this father had great love for his son. It says he stood and watched for him to come home. He was waiting for the day that that child would come home. In fact, I kind of imagine that maybe this dad was kind of happy that his son was broke because his son was coming home. And it says he was watching for him to come home. And when he saw him in the distance, he started to make preparations for this child that was coming home, this son that was coming back. He told him to get everything ready, to kill the fatted calf, to prepare a feast, make everything ready for this child. And when the son, who is now broke, comes up to him and he says, Dad, I don't have anything anymore, but you know, maybe I could get a job here as one of your servants so that I could have a place to live. And some people might say, hey, that would be a pretty fair deal. After all, the kid squandered everything. Got rid of what he had, foolishly. Make him work for it. But the dad said, you're still my son. I still love you. Even though you've done some stupid things, I still love you. And a dad loves his child, even though they do some stupid things sometimes. And you think back even, dads, did you ever do any stupid things when you were a kid? Oh, we're going to have an altar call. We've all done some stupid things. Ladies, you did some stupid things probably when you were children too, you know, if we want to admit it. You know, but we did. Did our parents say, okay, you've done a stupid thing, I'm kicking you out of the house, go on your own way? No. They still loved us. We got into trouble, they still loved us. Now, I'll have to say, I never got into trouble to the point that my parents had to come bail me out of jail or anything like that. But I did some stupid things when I was a teenager, when I was a kid. We all did. My wife is saying I did a whole load of I don't know what she said. But you know what? My parents loved me. And they forgave me for stupid things that I did. A parent, a dad, and a mom. Because you know, really, it takes a dad and a mom working together. That's how God meant it to be. Dad and mom working together to raise that child. Unfortunately, in today's society, we really don't find that. And I'll have to say that's where it comes in when it was talking about in that little saying there, it takes a real man to raise a child, because there's a lot of dads out there who it's not their child that they're raising, but yet they're showing love, they're showing kindness, they're showing mercy to that child. And that's a real man in my book, one that can do that. I knew someone that raised a number of children that, to my knowledge, were not biologically his children, but he treated them all the same. Didn't matter. In his book, they were his kids, and he loved them and he cared about them. So it takes a real man to raise a child. So here, this young man showed up on his doorstep, a vagrant. But his dad welcomed him back with open arms. And even though he said, make me a hired servant, his dad said, no, you're my son. Welcomed him back with open arms. Now, if you remember the story, big brother got a little upset about it. You know, how come you're making this big party for Junior there who went off and got rid of all his grumbling, complaining? And dad said, look, all that's here is yours now. You've still got all of this. Don't worry about it. But God loves us. Just like that dad loved his son, God loves us. There's another man that tells us about in the Bible who actually did take on the responsibility of raising a child that he did not father. And that was a man by the name of Joseph. And it says in Matthew 1:16, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus. That's not the same Jacob we were talking about earlier, by the way, who is called Christ. And it goes on in verse 18 through 20. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was thus, when as his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, or engaged, before they came together, she was found the child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. And while he thought these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and saying, Joseph, the son of David, fear not to take Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And so God speaks to him and he takes this child, loves this child as if it were his own biological child. Raised that child to the best of his ability, taught that child the things that he felt he would need to know. And even though we don't have a biblical history of what occurred during Jesus' early life and his youth and his teenage years, particularly other than it when he was 12, we find that most likely Joseph did everything that he could do to raise this child as if it were his own child. Joseph was being the man that God created him to be. And when you're a dad and you're raising your child to the best of your ability, giving them everything that you can possibly do, and maybe sometimes that can be a problem too, I'll have to say that. Sometimes we want to give our kids too much, I think. But we do what we can to make it good for them. We want a better life for our children than we have. Amen? We all do. Unfortunately, I have to say in this country today, when things are going, I fear for our children because I'm not sure that some of them will have a better life than we have. But we still, as parents, as dads, want to see that happen for our children, for our grandchildren, that they will have something better than what we have. We also have a Heavenly Father that loves us. In Matthew 6:9, we find that Jesus instructs us, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We pray, our Father. Our Father. A few years ago, decided that when I prayed, that was the way I would start my prayers, and I still do probably 90%+ of the time, Father, because it is my Heavenly Father that I'm praying to. I'm praying to Him. I know that I am His child. Now, I am not His physical birth child like we think about in the natural, but I am His spiritual child. I've been born into His family through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross of Calvary. And because of that, the Bible tells me I have been adopted into His family, and He is my Father. My Father. And sometimes, maybe when things don't seem like they're what they should be, and maybe you're a little down or something like that, I want you to remember one thing. You have a Father who owns it all. Think about it. You have a Father that not only owns it all, He created it all. And I know some people, well, if I could have just been born into that family or this other family, you know, if I could have had this or I could have had that. If you're a child of God, you've got it all. You might not be seeing it right now, but that's okay. It's in the world that's yet to come, and it will last for what? An eternity. And what we get here right now is transient. It can be here today and gone tomorrow. But what God has prepared for us is for eternity. Luke chapter 11, verse 13 says, If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Then the Apostle Paul writes in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, an heir of God through Jesus Christ. So you have a heavenly Father that loves you, and He cares about you. He wants to be a part of your life. Think about it. A dad wants to be a part of his children's life. Our Heavenly Father wants to be a part of our life. He wants to be there for us. And I'm saying today, if you're listening to me and if you've not given your heart and life to Jesus Christ, become part of God's family. God wants you to be a part of His heavenly family today. He wants you to be a part of that family. You know, you could walk up and knock on some rich man's door that seems to have it all. And there are some people out there that in the natural seem to have it all. And you could walk up and knock on their door and say, oh, kind sir, can I be a part of your family so I can enjoy the blessings that you have? And he's going to run you off the property. It doesn't have you arrested. But when we knock on the door and say, God, Father, I want to be a part of your family. He opens the door and welcomes us in with open arms and says, I want you to be a part of the family as well. And He will make us a part of that family. And it's all through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross of Calvary. So if you're listening to me today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, invite Him into your heart. Ask Him to come in today. Become a part of God's family. And Father, I thank You today for Your word. I thank You for Your blessings. I pray, Father, You'd meet each need that is present here. Father, we give You praise and we give You glory, for we've asked it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a message from the Lord's house. If this ministry has blessed you, please let us know. You may email us at pastor@tlhf.us, or you may write us at the Lord's House Fellowship, P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Or if you would like to attend a service at the Lord's House, we are located at 1131 Maple Ash Avenue, Columbia, Tennessee. And until next time, Shalom.